WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. As of this past week, $70 billion worth of ETFs, those are exchange-traded funds, reshuffled the deck in a big, big way. And it impacts more than just these ETFs. It impacts how you and I look at and how we view and we categorize all companies, particularly within technology, within the tech space, and consumer discretionary. And oh, well, by the way, in a consumer economy here in the United States, 70%+ of our economy or economic activity has to do with consumers. So when you shuffle the deck in these industries, you're moving a ton. And that's, we just had one of the largest reshufflings of the deck. Call it the great reshuffle in sectors that we have seen for arguably 30 years. We want to get to that here, arguably 20 plus years. We're going to talk about that today here and what that means with a brand new sector, by the way. Classification, brand new sector. So we're taking companies that already exist out of the tech sector and out of the consumer discretionary sector, and we're going to give them a brand new label, brand new name. And once you reshuffle that with the global, what's called the GICS system, the Global Industry Classification Standard, you're going to change a bunch of ETFs. And we've talked about ETFs here for over a decade. And when your ETFs change, that means the investments that you have very likely just changed this week, and you might not even know it. And that includes anybody listening. And if you've listened to Money Matters and you over time either bought ETFs or switched from mutual funds to ETFs, then you have a really good chance that this reshuffling of the deck impacted you. That means if you own any ETFs from Vanguard, iShares, State Street, Invesco, then you may have been impacted. And we're going to get to the heart of what happened in this big reshuffle here on Money Matters today. Also, because we only have an hour of radio time, we are going to get to this, what promised last week. And if you listen to the podcast, you hear me say, we're going to talk about growth versus value investing. And I didn't get to it. It's because I'm still getting used to the shortened Money Matters during college football season. If you are a national podcast listener, again, as a reminder, we are based out of Atlanta. This radio station is the home of the Dogs, arguably the best college football team in the nation, arguably. And we have something called Bulldog Brunch that follows Money Matters. So it shortens our time a little bit here during football season. So we have a lot to get to in a shorter amount of time. So growth versus value investing. And those who listen to this show, if you've listened to Money Matters again for a long time, you probably care about value. We all care about growth. And as a reminder, we're all going for the same thing. And I draw this out when I sit down and meet with investors and families just to remind folks and set the table or reset the table that we're all trying for one thing. It's called total return. That's the one constant in investing. We're all after our money grow. I want to grow it. How do we grow it? Total return is what we're after. But that formula, that's where things start to get more and more specific. That formula is just growth plus income. I'll repeat that. Growth plus income. We can control income. We can control dividends and interest and distributions from a variety of sources and have a very steady cash flow in any given year. And by the way, over time, even if you look at just stocks, which are not traditionally built for income, even though there's a ton of income provided by dividend paying companies, the S&P 500, 43% of its total return over 100 years has been because of the income. The growth side of the equation is less predictable and can be more erratic in any given year. We can be up 20% or down 20% on the S&P 500, which makes the growth piece of that total return equation a little bit tougher to nail down in any given year. Over time, we know markets go up and grow over time, but we could have a 2, 3, 5 year stretch where they don't. So we have to have those two together. Value-oriented investors care more about the I part of that equation, income, and a little bit less or perhaps a lot less on the growth part of that equation. To the contrary, growth investors care almost everything about the G part of that equation, growth, 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 and very little about income. Well, guess what? Over the last 5 years, and particularly the last three, if you've been a hardcore value investor, you kind of felt a little left out. Like, wait a minute, maybe why am I not doing more of the growth investing? Because they're doing better. That's this conflict that investors are finding themselves, or this kind of maybe quagmire you're finding yourself in if you're a diehard value investor. I want to explore the numbers behind that, the difference between the two, and then when do value-oriented investors maybe catch a break? All of that here on Money Matters. By the way, for the week, Dow up 2.25%. S&P 500 up a little less than 1%. Who sat the rally out for the week? The NASDAQ down about a third of a percent. One of my favorite quotes of the week, Larry Kudlow, my favorite National Economic Advisor, National Economic Council, Larry Kudlow, recovering from a heart attack, not stopping him at all. He said the trade system around the world has been broken. It's been broken. You get all this in the media that is, oh, well, now we're fighting against China all of a sudden. And Jack Ma from Alibaba said, I'm going to pull the million jobs that I said I was going to create here in the United States because of this tariff war that you guys have created. That's not the case. We're just responding today to the unfair trade practices that China's had and so many other countries have had for so long. Kudlow this week, the trade system around the world has been broken. It's been broken, folks. And China is the biggest culprit. The trade skirmish extends. There were more tariffs that went into effect this week, more retaliations. But the market continues to go right through that, or drive right through that cloud of smoke on the track. Again, shaking it off, up 2% plus on the Dow, close to 1% on the S&P 500. And down a bit on the NASDAQ. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. Just on another note, we're talking about where we are located. We're in Atlanta, and I can't wait to hear that, or I'm excited to hear on a day like today where Kirk Mellish is saying tomorrow in the low 80s for the first time. And I cannot even remember. Just summer, September in Atlanta, at least in the Southeast. And I don't know about where you are in the country listening, but has been worse than the normal summer. It's been worse than August. And I'm on a turf field, like a lot of dads in the fall, coaching something. My sport happens to be lacrosse, and we're on a turf field. And the temperature, if it's 95 degrees out, the turf is 115 degrees. It is like a Turkish yoga sauna, not to mention the humidity. For 5, 6, 8 hours during the day. So it takes me, I can't even hydrate enough, but I'm alive and well here this morning on Money Matters. Now, let's go right to, and by the way, the number here in the studio, we'll have time for a few calls, at least one, maybe two calls today. So if you've been thinking about something financially and you want to get through on a Sunday morning, now's the time to do it. If it's a pension or a lump sum or an ETF question, maybe you were impacted by the sector, great shuffle of the new sectors here for the S&P. Then happy to answer your questions live here on a Sunday morning. The number 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750. Right here, live in the studio, phone lines open. Or outside of Georgia, 1-800-WSB-TALK. That's 1-800-WSB-TALK. So I just mentioned already $70 billion in ETFs. Reshuffled the deck big way this week, and it impacts more than just the ETFs that are going to change or already just changed this past week. It impacts how we view and categorize companies, which is a very big deal within some of the very biggest sectors of the economy: technology, consumer discretionary, and telecom. Here's what just happened. So it's the S&P Dow Jones Indices, and it's the MSCI. And what they just changed is the global, it's called the GICS system. And of course, well, what's GICS stand for, Wes? It stands for Global Industry Classification Standard. It was developed by Morgan Stanley. So MSCI is Morgan Stanley Capital International Group. And then S&P, obviously the Standard & Poor's Group, back in the late 90s, they classified all different companies into 10 sectors. 10. Well, today there are 11. There are 11. There's 11 main sectors of the economy, and think about those as technology, consumer discretionary, consumer staples is a particular sector. Financials, energy, healthcare. Those are the big, broad sectors. Now there are 11. Now there's within that, if you keep going down the Christmas tree, if you will, there are 24 different industry groups. There's 68 different industries. And then there's 157 different sub-industries, and that's what we're working with. If you look at the list of the firms that have been impacted, again, likely that you probably, if you own ETFs, you probably own ETFs from one of these companies, State Street. They do the SPDR ETFs, which are some of the largest sector ETFs in the nation, in the planet. iShares, owned by BlackRock, again, one of the very largest ETF providers in the world. Vanguard, as you all know, the largest asset manager in the world. Invesco, also enormous. So if you very well, because GICS reshuffled and you have it, if you have an ETF that follows the GICS system, then the stocks that you own inside your ETF probably changed this week. Here's what's happening. I'm gonna start with a list here, and I'm gonna publish this week, of course. Number one, remember that you just probably saw a change without you changing. What you may own could probably look the same. The ETF symbol that you own today probably stays the same, or does stay the same, but it's changed in a very significant way. If you own tech in the form of, let's say, the State Street ETF symbol XLK, you will now own tech. You own technology companies, but they're different today. Due to the reclassification, a lot of the big names now have left that index. For example, Facebook, no longer part of that ETF. According to the GICS system, it's not a technology company anymore. It's not the technology sector anymore. It's in a new category. Alphabet, Google, that left the tech ETF or tech classification. AT&T, Verizon, the big video gamer, Activision, Blizzard, Electronic Arts, Twitter, eBay, they have left that classification. Where did they go? Well, we'll talk about that as soon as Money Matters returns. You'll listen to News 95.5 and AM 750. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here on WSB.
Hi, this is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates four times an hour all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be back Monday morning, 4:30 to 9 for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Before the break, we asked, where did Alphabet go? Google's no longer in the tech ETF, and the big video game makers like Electronic Arts, they're no longer in the tech ETF, and Twitter's out. Where'd they go? Well, and then what happened to what happened to Comcast and Walt Disney? Where did they go? And Netflix, where did they go? Where are all these companies going to? Well, for the most part, they're all going to a brand new, and some of these didn't just leave the tech sector ETF. They left the consumer discretionary ETF. Where'd they all go to? Well, they're going to a brand new sector called the communication services sector here for the S&P. And of course, it's a brand new ETF, and like multiple brand new ETFs, they're going to create. And then, so remember, we've got the sector on one side, and then you've got the ETF, which is the actual investment vehicle that follows that sector. So new sector means new ETFs. The one managed by State Street that just came out this week, XLC, symbol XLC, which is their communication services select sector ETF. By the way, eBay is one that's leaving tech that's not going into the new sector. It's going into consumer discretionary, which I think makes a lot of sense. So we're going to talk about why I think a lot of these moves do make sense and why the reclassification is just really kind of a sign of the times of reclassifying a company that is really more of a communication company as opposed to just a tech. Every company's a tech company. Every company is relying on tech. But what's their core business? Is if it's a communication-oriented business, well, it makes sense that there's a brand new sector that really reflects that. We're going to go to the phones here, and we'll get back to this sector reshuffle. 404-872-0750. Robert joins us from Woodstock. Robert, what's going on, man?
So when it comes to retirement planning, I retired from the military at 38, and I plan on working at least until 60, but I never understood, other than, you know, I'm maxing out my 401k, I'm saving on a traditional because I don't qualify for the Roth. I'm doing a tax brokerage account. But I just wanted to see if you had any kind of general thoughts on how much should I be saving if I have a military income? What is that valuation?
Okay.
I don't know if my question makes sense.
It does. So hang on. I'm going to talk with you throughout the break for a second. And then when we get back, we'll answer the question on air so everyone else can hear it. So hang on a sec, my friend. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. If you're just tuning in and you own ETFs in the technology sector, the consumer discretionary sector, you may have just lost a bunch of the companies that are within ETFs that track those areas. So for instance, if you owned XLK, which is the technology sector ETF from Spider, no longer in that ETF, well, Alphabet, Google, AT&T, Verizon, Activision, Blizzard, Electronic Arts, Twitter, eBay. If you owned XLY, which is the consumer discretionary sector, who'd you lose? Well, you lost Comcast and Walt Disney and Netflix and 21st Century Fox and CBS and Omnicom, and the list goes on and on and on. Why? Well, there's been a big reshuffle. The S&P and MSCI just reshuffled how they categorize companies. Well, where'd they all go? Well, the communication sector ETF. So you lost a bunch of these companies in tech. And every company's a tech company now. They went to a brand new sector and, in many cases, a new sector ETF called the Communication Services ETF. Does it make sense? Well, how we communicate in the world makes a ton of sense in a new way. It's vastly different than it was 10 years ago. Communication as a sector is a much better way to define these companies. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. But on the line, if you just tuned in or you were listening earlier, Robert had a question about how to evaluate his military pension. Robert from Woodstock. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Thanks for holding, man. So you were 38 when you qualified for your military pension. You left the military, and now you're in your age 45, and you're already getting, call it what, $2,100 a month?
Yep.
Okay. And then you're already getting that. So remind our listeners kind of what's your main question, because I think a lot of other folks have the same thought, like, wait a minute, what's this worth, right?
Yeah, so I, you know, just reading the various publications, there's these general rules of thumb of, you know, how do you measure yourself against if you're on track for the traditional retirement. So 45, you're supposed to have, I guess, somewhere between 5 to 7 times of your annual income. And I was trying to understand what that valuation, because it's not that I can cash it out, what my retirement pension is, because it's from now until the day I die, and there's survivorship that I also have with that. So wanted to see what that valuation was so I could get a better, if you will, rule of thumb on, am I on track, how much more, you know, am I behind, and so forth. So
rules of thumb, my heart just lit up because I love rules of thumb. You can go at this a lot of different ways. The 10, 15 times income, not the worst way to look at it. It's super, super oversimplified. I think of it as trying to do building blocks of monthly income. If you're thinking about stacking Legos, every Lego is $1,000 a month. I kind of want to just fast forward 20 years for you and say, okay, how many $1,000 increments are we going to get to? That's the way I want to look at this. It's a little more specific, and it's still not that hard to do. And here's the rule of thumb that'll help you get there. I call it the $1,000 a month rule. And it states this: for every $240,000 you have, that's effectively in the future, $1,000 a month. And the math on this is pretty simple. It's just 240,000 times 5%. That equals $12,000 a year. Or divided by 12, it's $1,000 a month. So start thinking about your savings in increments of that, call it $250,000 at a time. That's effectively worth a pension of about $1,000 a month. Now, if you start doing the math here, you've got, it's what, $2,100 is military pension?
Right.
So then that's your after-tax number. So it's really about $2,500 a month gross, because you want to do it all either gross or all net. It's easier to do gross numbers, and then you could apply a tax rate in the future, because that's going to change a bunch too. Your tax rate will go lower typically in the future. So your monthly pension is already $2,500. Your Social Security, because you've got a lot of working years, is going to be another at least $2,500, let's say. And then you are working now. What kind of plan do you have for work today?
So it has the Roth 401k, and it does the match on the traditional side. So it's a match up to 5%, and I max that every year. And I also do a traditional IRA also.
So here's another rule of thumb, now that you asked. The 50-30-20 rule of thumb, which is, if I want to take my gross income, I want to be able to live on 50% of it. I want to be able to set aside 30% for taxes, and that can be a little high or a little low, but that's a good rule of thumb, 30% to the government and all the different government areas we pay taxes to, including state, and then 20% of my gross income towards savings. If you do that, especially at your young age of 45, even if you're just starting today, you'd get pretty close to a really comfortable retirement. 50, 30, 20, 20% of your gross income then goes to savings. So think of it this way. You're going to have another, how much, what's your savings today, just ballpark, in liquid money, not pensions?
You're talking about what I have in 401k right now?
Correct.
Yeah, so it's around 415.
You already have 415,000. You're going to be saving, let's call it, you're saving about 20 grand a year between 401k and your IRAs, correct?
Yeah, it's 18.5 and 5,500, so, and then whatever their match is, like 3 grand and some change.
All right, and then if we go out, if you're 45, let's get you to, let's say you go to 60, so we have 15 more years, right? And even if we're only looking at a 5% rate of return over time, the 415 grows into about $1.3 million, right? Well, if we use the $1,000 a month rule on $1.3 million, you're looking at income of about 65 grand, right? And there's debate on whether you use 4% or 5%. I like 4% plus inflation, or we're just doing round numbers here. So you've got income when you stop working at 60, Robert. And I didn't even ask you if you're married or not. Let's just go with your contribution here. $65,000 a year. You've got your pension from the military, which is arguably $2,500 times 12. That's another $30,000 a year. And Social Security at another $30,000 a year. You're going to have in retirement, that's $120,000 in annual gross income when you stop working at age 60. $125,000. I took 5% of $1.3 million is $65,000, plus $30,000 from pension, plus $30,000 from social. You're at $125,000 right out of the gate. So those are, I know I used a couple different rule of thumbs there, but I like to build you this, how many $1,000 a month will I have at age 60 or 65? And I took into account your savings. That's about where you're going to be. So just think of it in that context. Should you still be saving? Yes. That military pension is probably worth a little. I mean, really, if you do the $1,000 a month rule in reverse, 30 grand a year divided by 5%, that's worth $600,000. And now that's in the future. 600 in 15 or 20 years from now isn't worth what it would be today, obviously. It's because of inflation, but it's still a huge chunk of your retirement. So I think that you are on the right track here. I'm thinking you need to hit another $1.3 million or $1.3 million total in savings. That gets you to 125 grand a year gross. And that's a pretty awesome trajectory to be on. Robert, A, thank you for your service to our country. And B, you are on the right track, my friend. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I love doing calls like that. And I appreciate the call from Robert. I love being able to walk through these scenarios. Happy retirees have multiple streams of income. The more and different, the different ways we get our money in retirement leads to this real sense of comfort and well-being and gets rid of the worry that, hey, my money's going to run out. And that's the biggest fear so many folks have, is that how do I keep getting a paycheck when I don't have a paycheck? Well, all these rules of thumb, they help you create a paycheck in a very diversified way. And that's the power of starting this early and thinking about doing it in multiple different ways. We promised to talk about these sectors here. And remember, if we've got this big shuffle and big shakeup and we're changing gears here, if you have just continued to hold the technology sector ETFs that are from State Street and the consumer discretionary ETFs from State Street, they changed a bunch. Big chunks of them have left into a new sector and, of course, a new ETF. And there'll be more created, I think, on this. Certainly will be created on the new communication services sector. But companies like Alphabet or Google and AT&T, Verizon, Activision, Blizzard, Electronic Arts from tech, and then Comcast, Disney, Netflix, 20th Century Fox from consumer discretionary, they're in their own new basket now. Think about Netflix, and it makes sense that now Netflix is in this new sector. Netflix is really a communication company. Facebook, now really it's been a communication company. It's not just a tech company anymore. Google is a communication services company. Well, you're scratching your head when you hear that one. First of all, remember, Google has over a billion email accounts. Gmail sounds like communication to me. Google Home sounds like communication to me. Google Search is the predominant way we find small business providers. And what do we do when we Google somebody and it comes up? We hit call on our smartphones. Google has become not just a search company, but a communications company. Well, how do the weightings change within the tech sector and consumer discretionary sector that all these names and companies left? Well, they had to increase the weightings of what was left behind. So now the old ETFs, so call it the old XLK, which is technically a lot of the same companies, but with higher weightings, you're going to have a bigger weight now in XLK if you hold that to Apple and Microsoft and Visa. Apple now is almost 20% of that new or modified ETF. Microsoft, over 16%. Same thing with the consumer discretionary ETF. Amazon will now be 23% of the remaining XLY, which is consumer discretionary. Home Depot, over 10%. McDonald's, over 5%. I think the question is, do you buy the new one? Do you buy the new sector ETF? Well, what you're losing if you just hold XLK as your tech exposure, you're losing your exposure to Facebook and Alphabet and telecom, by the way. AT&T and Verizon left, and Disney. They're moving to XLC. So, you know, to me, I'm not a huge fan of it because the new sector ETF is very heavily loaded down with Facebook. And yes, I'm losing Google. I'd almost rather just buy the companies itself than just buy the entire new sector group. Let's continue to talk about this because it's so brand new. But we've got to go to weather and traffic. Then we're going to come back and we've got to hit this topic of value investing when money matters returns. News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on WSB Radio, or if you're listening via podcast, leave a review, please. Love reviews on podcasts. We don't get them enough. And I know folks listen around the country. So with that review / just do the little forward thing or share on your iPhone. Thank you for listening. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. You know, we've talked about this or hinted towards this divide between growth and value. What's the whole issue? Well, it gets back to the fact that investing is a science and it is an art. And more appropriately, it's a philosophy. So there's really no exact one perfect way to invest. You could be a growth investor or you can be value, which are almost at the opposite ends of the spectrum. And guess what? Over time, they both actually do really well. But you've got periods of time where one's kind of outpacing the other. And that's what we've seen over the last couple of years, really the last, it's been almost a decade that growth has outpaced value, but not until the last couple of years or 3 years, it's been more accelerated. So growth attempts to Here are the two. So you have two totally different philosophies. Growth attempts to find companies that are all in on growth and expansion and capturing market share. These companies have really high growth rates and they take all their profits and they take all those profits and they plow them back into even more growth. Investors typically pay more up for in terms of earnings for those companies. They pay higher multiples. So the S&P 500 is trading 17 times. A company that's in the growth category may trade at 20 or 30 or even 40 times earnings or profits relative to the rest of the market. Much higher than that 17. Value investors attempt to find companies that have a stock price that's trading below their intrinsic value. Essentially cheap companies relative to what they're earning. They might be very profitable, so they might have great cash flow, but they're just not growing in a massive clip. They might be growing at 1 or 2% a year, 3%, 5% a year, 10% a year. Still value, not high growth versus a company that's in the growth category that's growing at a 20, 30, 50% per annum clip. As you would expect, the PE ratios here are below the rest of the market. Think 10 to 15 times earnings versus today's at 17, where growth is going to be much higher than that. And growth has been leading the way, particularly because technology companies are typically in that space. And investors have been paying up and up for the last couple of years and leaving these value companies behind. Now, they haven't done terribly. They just haven't kept up completely. I think that there will be a reversion to the mean and value will catch up. It might not be this year. It might be, but at some point that shift will happen. And we've got to obviously explore this more in the next episode of Money Matters. So tune in, subscribe to the podcast, tune in here to WSB Radio. And if you want to find us throughout the week, go to wesmoss.com. Happy to sit down with you specifically and talk about your situation. Email me through wesmoss, WESMOSS.com, and have a wonderful rest of the day. Right, stay tuned to News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.